Well, I hope everyone had a good day, a good Mother's Day, and if you're able to, you got to spend some time with your family. I know I appreciated the day, but it is good to be back here again. Just a couple of announcements here to be mindful of. Don't forget the community giveaway this coming Saturday. And if you have any gently used items that you're willing to give away, bring it over there to the annex and or the pavilion rather, so we can get that for Saturday. And if I'm not mistaken, we're going to set up at 8 and then it begins at 9, I believe. And I think that's what's in the app. Light post is that. So don't forget that. And want to start being mindful, of course, of the summer series coming up. Make sure we're a part of that on Thursdays. You know, sometimes it can be a little embarrassing, just to be honest, when there's more visitors than members sometimes on those Thursdays. So kind of keep that in mind and, you know, be a part of that if you would. Also, I got to apologize. Started this morning, my throat. And then all through the day, now I get here, I am so stuffy and I feel like my eyes are going to pop out of my head. And usually I get this end of March, beginning of April. I don't know if since it's been so cold or cool out, that I'm just starting to get the allergies that I thought I got lucky and missed out on this year. So bear with me on my voice. So if you would, if open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and that'll be our main study text. I'm going to read a little bit of out of Ephesians this evening. And when I talk about grace, I love using this as an example. Albert Einstein. He, of course, one of the greatest minds of the modern age. Very interesting fellow. Everyone knows about his IQ, just one of the smartest men that's ever lived. And think about him was he was so smart that he would neglect just regular stuff. Part of that was his his personal appearance, right? You have his famous hairstyle. Because he just wouldn't focus on normal things that normal people would. And so the story's told about him taking a train out of town for a speaking engagement, and he was engrossed in his work, and the conductor came to him to have his ticket punched, and he couldn't find his ticket. And he started searching frantically in his jacket and his briefcase and couldn't find it, and the conductor said, "Don't worry, Dr. Einstein, we know who you are. I'm sure you paid for your ticket." And so the conductor moves down, checking on other people, and he looks back, and now he sees Einstein on his hands and his knees looking for that ticket under the seat and everywhere on the floor. And so the conductor goes back to him and says, "Dr. Einstein, please don't worry about it. I know who you are." And the story's told that he was exasperated, and Einstein looked up at him and said, "I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." And I think I have that on the screen there, maybe not. That quote. And so I always found that very interesting that he made that statement. So in the time that we have, I do want to discuss grace. I want us to really look at this here mainly in Romans chapter 5. Our understanding of God's grace is critical to walking worthy, our theme for the year. Because we're not going to live as we should if we, on one hand, abuse God's grace, take it in vain, or on the other side of that, limit His grace. Not realize what I have access to as a child of His. And you see, doing either of those will confuse your faith. I think God wants us to know this. And so that's what we're going to learn here in Romans chapter 5. And, by talking about the idea of is it law versus grace, or is it law and grace? Because many people approach it, you know, one way or the other, right? And it seems like people then, they want to open their Bible to get the answer that they want, that they want to hear, right? They'll look at passages to say, well, it's all grace, right? And there's no rules in Christ. So they'll go to Galatians chapter 5 and, you know, take it out of context. Or there's others who say that faith without works is dead, and if you don't follow the rules exactly, God's not going to extend his grace to you. And they'll go to James chapter 2, verse 17. So the question is, which is it? Right? Do I have to be good enough for God to really love me? Or is it because God really loves me, I am good enough? And so Ephesians chapter 2 here, real quick, and again, we will be in Romans 5, will help us understand this a little bit better before we go to our main study text. And so here Paul reminds Christian people that we are saved by grace and by works, that no man should boast. I don't know if we're having an issue. There we go. But at the same time, if you look at this, that same set of verses, he tells us that we were created in him to do good works in verse 10. Right? So Paul here seems to combine the two. He intertwines grace and law, right? To where you can't really understand the one unless you understand the other. We all are familiar with verses 7 and 8, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now what I found in my study for this lesson is, you know, you can't separate love and grace or law and grace. You know, they carry much of the same idea, and I'm going to use them interchangeably, right? Grace, like verse 8 here, unmerited unfavor or unwarranted a favor from God, it's a gift. So what is your understanding of God's grace and what will you do with it? That's a big question here. So let's talk about that and go back here to Romans chapter 5. And again, our understanding of grace will determine how we live out our faith. You're going to approach it one way or the other, where you'll either be tempted to take God's grace for granted, take it in vain, I can do basically what I want, or you're going to make it rules-based. I got to do God's law perfectly. Right? And I don't think either one of those are healthy. But I think starting off, the best way to visualize grace is something we see in our own lives. We have a living illustration. And read with me verses 6 through 11 here in our study text. 6 through 11, Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, I want you to think about, you know, why it's so easy to love a child. And you think about a child, you just want to pick them up and love them and hold them and kiss them. You know, ever since Lucy's been over here the last couple of days at her house, that's all I want to do. Any opportunity, I'm just a baby hog, right? You just want to hold them and hug them and love them and kiss them. You know, you even do that when they don't smell good, right? But you don't care. You know, so why is it so easy to love someone when, number one, they don't even, or they can't fully even appreciate at a certain age how much you love them? You know, that little child's going to understand some aspects of that relationship, but they don't really get it. And they're completely dependent upon you. you know, they're demanding of your time. You need to feed them and clothe them and meet all of their needs. And you do it. Right? You do it, you know, not because they're paying you. Right? You don't do it because they love you unconditionally back. Right? You do it because you love them even when they don't realize it. Now, how much of your love for that little child is based upon how well they keep the rules? Right? Do you ever have a, you know, 2 or 3 year old tell you no? And if you've ever heard a 2 or 3 year old tell you no, you haven't been around 2 or 3 year olds. You know, do you stop loving them when they throw that tantrum on the floor? Well, of course you don't. Right? They even get louder. But you still love them. You know, when it's all over, what do? You pick them up, you hold them, you love them. But they broke the rules. Right? That 13-year-old that pushes your buttons when they get to that age. Do you stop loving them? Do you stop extending them grace? Right? Rules get broken, and you, as a parent, you have to decide, you know how to teach your child a lesson. But do you stop extending love and grace to them? You know, when they break the rules, do you stop doing that? You know, pick any age, 2, 13, 18, 21, 36, 48. You know, when do you stop extending grace to them? You don't, do you? That's a living illustration. Number two, and we do have 4 main points. Number two this evening, let's talk about the law. And I want you to read with me verses 12 through 14 here in our study text in Romans 5. So Romans 5, 12 through 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Right? So Adam had one job. Right? He had one job. You know, Adam, you just don't do this one thing. Right? You know, and since he did, sin entered the world. And we've been struggling with sin ever since. Right? We were born with all the purity of God, but as we grew and we came to a certain age, we wanted what we wanted for selfish reasons. Right? Death came because of one man's sin, and the sting of death destroyed that holy relationship to God. And you know that because you've experienced that same sting. Right? But what happened in the garden, of course, was not the whole story, and thank God it didn't end there. Right? As mankind continued his downward spiral of sin, God once again interceded by giving us the holiness of the law. That's what he's saying here in verse 20 in this chapter. Right? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Right, and the law usually, or many times, of course, refers to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, one that was based on circumcision. Yet, all of those rules that were given to show, if you read this entire chapter here, you'd be reminded to show you holiness. And to show you how sin destroys that holiness. Right, and nobody can keep it perfect. And no one has ever been able to keep the law perfectly, except for Jesus, of course. Right, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it really appears that no matter how much God pursues us, we're going to pursue our own fleshly desires. We sin, and in that we die. And in that spiritual death, we're separated from God without hope. Isaiah 59 verse 2. So number 3, that brings us to grace. Read verse 20 here, but now I want to read verse 21. This last verse here in chapter 5 of Romans, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sitting down and really pondering what it means when I read that God pursues me. That's just really hard for me to really understand. I think that God desires me, seeks me, calls me, draws me to Him, loves me, and that's not easy for me to accept. Especially when I think about all the things that I've done in my life that are wrong, that are sinful. When I think about all the struggles that I have still to this very day. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Spirit. Right? I believe in their awesome and holy nature. I just sometimes struggle with believing how I fit in with them. You see, for me, sometimes I feel like, you know, I need to do something. I need to prove something. So He really knows how much that I love Him. Right? Can I really believe that He loves me even when I don't really get all that this means? Well, I come back to that illustration with the child, right? I'm that child, and God is a father. He loves me when I'm that whiny two-year-old. You know, when I disobey, when I throw a temper tantrum. He loves me when I'm that know-it-all teenager, right? He loves me when I'm that gimme young adult. Right? God is pursuing me with His love and His grace. And to be honest, that's a struggle for me to fully understand. And so maybe you struggle with that also, right? To believe what the Bible says about how much God loves you. So Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 3. Let me read verses 18 and 19 real quick. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 18 and 19, book of Ephesians chapter 3. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So how long, how wide, how deep is the love of Christ? You see, the love of God is seen through grace. Right? Come back to Romans 5 here, 20 and 21 again. Where sin increases, grace increases all the more, right? Now be careful with this. Don't misunderstand me, but you can't out-sin God's grace, right? And I think if you can fully appreciate what that means, don't make it mean something that doesn't, but you fully appreciate what that means, it'll change your faith, absolutely. So to answer that a little bit further, I need to go to number 4, my response. So what's my response to all this? What should it be? You know, how am I going to respond to God's love and grace, how He's pursuing me, right? And how I do respond, that's going to determine how I'm going to live for Christ, by the way. So how does a person respond to grace that is greater than all my sin? So Paul's only fear is that Christians would take grace not as a gift to respond to, but as a license to do whatever we want, a license to sin. And so going into chapter 6, we see what our response should be. Now I want you to note here, just really quick, chapter 5, you see the word grace 6 times? You see the word life, or His life, or having life in Christ. You see that 5 times. And you see the word gift 5 times. Right? So Paul here, as he's writing this by guidance of the Holy Spirit, is wanting to pick up on some key words. We're talking about life, we're talking about gift, we're talking about grace. So when I get to chapter 6, it's still the same topic of study. So he's going to begin with a reminder of what to not do with that gift, with that grace, with that life we're offered through Christ. And so he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what grace brings. It brings life. And we access that grace, that life, through our obedience to the gospel. Right? Now we have this grace, but don't take it in vain. Right? There's a certain way now we need to walk in that grace. And so what Paul does here is he takes us back to our covenant relationship beginning. Right? Not the old law, not the old covenant, but when we were baptized into the new covenant. And so Paul reminds us that at our baptism, we not only declared Jesus as Lord, but we died. Right? We died to self, we died to our sinful nature. We chose by putting on Christ in baptism to live a different life. Right? We didn't trade in, we traded up. Right? Do you sin so that you can get more grace? Well, certainly not. Of course not. Right? You don't desire a life of sin anymore. Right? It is not that grace has a limit. Grace continues, but now we see life differently. And we see sin differently. You know, that's something that we've been cleared of. And when I do that, it hurts God. And then it hurts me, then it hurts God. Right? We see life in the spirit as being greater than in the flesh, and he's going to develop more. Let me just jump over Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. And so we come to know and experience a relationship with God that sees his holiness and our sin for what it is. And that's a maturation process, right? The more we take in the good things of God, right, the Word of God and prayer and meditation and fellowship and worship and all that, we're going to see the more of God's holiness, and we're going to see more of the danger of sin and its destructive nature. And then we're going to appreciate the grace even more. And he wants us to continuously put to death the things that hurt that relationship, right? In verse 17, chapter 6 of Romans, may God be thanked that even though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That's our response. And so here's our conclusion this evening. You know, when we choose in faith, this is also the Lord's invitation. Now, if there's anyone here who hasn't obeyed the gospel, so when we choose in faith to be baptized into Christ, you know, we did so because we understood sin and what we were doing and the destructive nature of sin. And that sin was keeping us from a relationship with God, and that sin was destroying us. We also, when we first obey the gospel, I think we start to understand a hint of grace. Hint of what God is offering us. But our baptism was a new birth. Right? We came up out of the water to walk in newness of life. We were babes in Christ. There's so much we needed to learn, to seek, to understand. And we were hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. And we grew, and we realized how much a better life is in Christ than it was in the darkness of sin. Right, when we walk in holiness, right? Verse 9, more than when we walked in the ways of the world, verse 10. And we liked our new selves that God created in us, verse 11. Sin was no longer master over us. We surrendered to a new master, verse 18. Right? We understood the need to walk in grace because it's the gift of God. Right, verse 23, we understood the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we learn in that maturation process. Now at the beginning of this lesson, I talked about how a parent loves a child. Even though that child is completely, absolutely dependent upon that parent, loves that child, even when that child is breaking the rules, right? The parent disciplines because the parent wants to see that child grow, but they still love that child, right? And God our Father, John chapter 15, is a vine dresser. And the vine is Jesus Christ. We are the branches attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. And that text tells us that the vine dresser prunes us. Right? He prunes us through his word because he loves us. And when we're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, we allow the word of God to prune us, to clean us. Well, we're going to produce fruit. Right? And we grow into that the more and more we understand grace and the more and more we understand the destructive nature of sin. And listen, grace doesn't end. When you're born again, your Heavenly Father extends it. Now, you can walk away from it, but he'll never walk away from you. And that's really what a lot of Romans chapter 8 is all about. And so I want you to think here, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you can, with a responsive heart, do what Paul's talking about in chapter 6. Right? Have that new life, reenact his death, burial, resurrection, and water. And if you've done that, and along the way you lost your way, maybe you misunderstood grace. You took the grace of God in vain, and then it turned into something that you realize separated you from God. Well, you can go back home. You can, in repentance, always come back home and live as a child, the child that God desires you to be. So if you're here this evening, we can help you in any way spiritually. Don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.